Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 all you entertainment colleagues out there. It's been a thrilling, exciting installment of, you guessed it, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, coming at you live each and every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Western time, Pacific time. That's 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. For all our Hispanic sistren and brethren around the world, that's numero uno. That's a shout out to my former co-host, Xander Dames. Go check him out, The Xander Effect. That's X-A-N-D-E-R-E-F-F-E-C-T. Or as we used to call him, the other Dave Navarro. go check his show out. But we are Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. We're here on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. We are syndicated on the following. We have iHeartRadio, Apple Radio, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Deezer, Radioline, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, Spotify, CastBox, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, and Geo7. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that last one correctly, but we're all over the damn place. We managed the following bands and or artists from around the world. We have Potty Mouth, Black Sabbatha, which is a female-fronted Black Sabbath tribute, SoCal Wreckers. We have Dawn Marlowe, High Priestess. She does tarot card readings and other things like that. We have Star Daddy, Nola Star, Jane's Addicted, which is a female-fronted Jane's Addiction tribute band. We have Aussie Train, again, a female-fronted, it's an Aussie tribute during his Randy Rhoads era. We have Mortis the Devil's Reject and the Mortis Doll Dancers, featuring Lillian Stinn Voodoo Kitten and Cinder. We have Cleaver from Santiago, Chile. Fallen Fury from San Luis Obispo, Side Effect and Burn the Ships from Bakersfield, California, and we have Berserk and Hollywood Nightmare from Los Angeles. We want to do a shout out to the following bars and or venues that we work with regularly or did before COVID-19. We have the Five Star Bar in downtown Los Angeles at 267 South Main Street, Los Angeles, California, 90012. Shout out to owners Mark and Angie Cordova. We miss you guys. Hope everything is going okay. And we hope to see you again very soon. Petey's Place is 6025 Reseda Boulevard in Tarzana, California. Shout out to owner Petey Partello. We have Universal Bar and Grill at 4093 Lancashire Boulevard, North Hollywood, California. Owner Greg Beer. We have Rainbow Bar and Grill at 9015 Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood, California, 90069. Shout out to our buddy Nick Foco from Metal Mayhem Mondays and Tuesdays. He's also the lead singer for the tribute band Nightmare, which is a tribute to Alice Cooper. We miss you very much, and we can't wait to start doing concerts at your bars again very soon. And so that wraps up our little thing on that. Well, today we are here with author, public speaker, and more, China Myers.
Hi, Jennifer.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I appreciate, really appreciate you having me. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you being on here.
Thank you.
Can tell all of our listeners and our viewers where you are zooming in from.
I am zooming in from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Woo! East Coast. All right. I'll be in your neck of the woods in about 3.5 weeks.
Oh, cool.
from Maine.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll be heading back there for vacation for a couple weeks to visit family.
Good for you. I've never been, but I heard it's beautiful.
It's very pretty. But it can be kind of boring. And
when you get cold. Older, boring is good.
Yeah, it's either very cold or very humid, depending on what time of year you're talking about. And yeah, the entertainment industry, not a good idea. That's not good. No.
I think I'd like it for the fish. I love fish, so I think I'd like it for that.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's to eat the lobster, right?
I'd eat any kind of fish. I love fish.
There you go.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you and your projects that you got going on. I want to ask you a few questions. Let's start with basics. Like, how long have you been writing?
Well, I've been writing for over 20 years. And my first thing I did, of course, was my book. And boy, I have to tell you, I had 3 kids, some trials and tribulations in my life, but writing a book, I think, was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Oh, wow.
Honestly. Not writing the book. That was easy. Trying to get a publisher and an agent. And, I mean, a lot of people, what they do is they'll get their book, they'll write their book, and they'll publish it themselves.
Nice.
That's an easy way to go. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to get a publisher and, you know, have it in, you know, Barnes & Noble and Amazon and all those places instead of peddling it out of my, you know, back of my trunk, so to speak, you know.
Right.
So that was really hard, trying to find somebody to publish it for me. It was the hardest thing, you know. Writing it wasn't hard because what I did was I just wrote it. I didn't worry about periods or paragraphs or, you know, there's a certain rule of thumb that you have to follow when you're writing. I didn't worry about any of that. I just wrote. And then I had it edited. So I wrote from my heart and I tried to be, you know, precise as I could. And then it must have been, I'd say about 15 years later, I found an editor.
Okay.
It was a long road. It really was. So I got it done, and it was actually funny how it happened. I called, I actually, don't hate me for this or think I'm crazy, but I Googled Black publishing houses.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
You know, and the first number I called was this publishing house in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And the secretary answered, of course, and I said, you know, I'm an author and I wrote an inspirational book based on my life. And I, you know, wanted to know if I could send you a query. Mm-hmm. So she said, yeah, we'll take your query. And I said, okay. So she gave me the information and everything. And the owner of the company actually called me back. And he said, you know, I really liked your query. He goes, send me your book. And long story short, I sent him the book and he was like, wow. He goes, that was intense. You know, he said, I really liked it. And he published it for him. I was like, are you sure? You know, and I was shocked, you know. Hearing so many no's, you know. So, yeah. But it worked out. You know, God is good. I guess, you know, maybe I wasn't ready before. I don't know. But
might have been. Didn't feel like you were mature enough to handle, like, let's say, you know, fame or any of that. Like,
yeah,
know.
Money, fame. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
You can't handle that kind of life, you know?
Yeah, that could have been it. Who knows?
Maybe he's just waiting for the right person to come along to do that for you.
Right.
Maybe the people that you had approached in the beginning weren't the right fit for you.
Exactly. That could have been it.
Over, they might have like taken you for a ride and, gone the great way of like publishing and gotten a movie deal, this, that, and the other thing, but then they might have like screwed you over. So you just
right, right. And a lot of them, I should say most of them, were white publishers. And honestly, you know, I don't think they got it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they understood the book, if that makes any sense. You know,
A lot of them are males. They can't understand the female perspective.
Right. That's what it was.
Yeah. A lot of the people who run those publishing houses are male.
Right.
And they just don't understand the female perspective, the female plight, the, you know, what we struggle with and go
with.
Right. And of course, they're a white publisher. They can't understand the black struggle. They just can't.
It's a different culture. I mean, let's be honest. So, I don't think they understood it.
You get pulled for cops for no reason, and you get profiled for this, that, and the other thing, credit card, whatever. Could be anything, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
So, yeah. They can't understand it from more than one perspective.
Right. So I just basically look at it like it wasn't meant to be, you know, at that time. So
they might have not have been ever been on your economic level. Like if you were ever poor or struggling or anything like that, they may have come from money and not know what a struggle is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So more than one aspect of what they're not understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right about that.
That's why it took the right publisher or the right person to do that with somebody who could maybe understand it more.
Exactly. And that's basically what I think too. I think you're right. And so I don't know, maybe it was my fault. Maybe I was looking in the wrong places, you know, but
it's a learning lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, the entertainment industry.
The entertainment industry is really hard to break through. It really is.
Yeah. Because there's so much, especially nowadays with the world of YouTube and self-publishing and all this stuff, you know, a self-published author can be in Barnes and Noble, same as an award-winning.
Now. Yeah. Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like you just, nowadays there's so much competition.
So much. Yeah.
I mean, yes, you could get discovered from something like YouTube, but it's just the whole point is you never know.
No. No. And it's like you said, it's different. You got to have like 2 million followers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So
just to go live.
Yeah.
And you have to have like so many followers, like 10,000 followers.
Yeah, I know.
So it's just sometimes it's hard to put through.
And you got to show some booby, you know. That's for sure. If you ain't willing,
we are, and do they really want to see our boobies?
Exactly. That's the question.
I'm an older woman now. Maybe they would have wanted to see them in my 20s, but I'm almost 50 now. I don't know if they want to. I don't know if they want to go there.
No, anyway. No, that would be a good idea.
Is or that underwire is trying so hard to work, but anyway. Another part of the female struggle.
Exactly. Yeah. That's your next show, The Perfect Bra.
It's the muse. Look, the muse during COVID-19.
Hi!
Author Chyna Myers.
How you doing, Chyna?
I'm good. How about you?
Where are you based out of?
Allentown.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, Allentown, Pennsylvania. PA. Oh, yeah. Wow. Your wife said you guys are going to pass by here.
Well, she's going to have to.
I am. I am.
Okay.
He unfortunately can't go with me on vacation again.
I was going to say, you didn't tell him about the vacation?
I'm just kidding. then it's not really a vacation. I'm not coming back. I'm sorry. Oh. You'll be all right. I have a return ticket. I did a round trip ticket. No, I couldn't leave this bald headed man. Can't do it. I'm hooked for life.
You're hooked for life.
Why we have the ring. So we're talking about China and how she struggled in the beginning of trying to find like a publisher and everything, and how we're white publishing companies. And I said, and how they may not understand, first of all, the female perspective. They might not understand the black perspective. And if she struggled at all and they come from money, they're not going to understand that perspective either.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
Like, let's say you get your paycheck and you pay all your bills and you've got $10, $15 left after you paid all your
bills. They don't understand that.
Yeah,
no. They'll be like, what?
Yeah, we
pay our bills. Why didn't you go to the bank and go get some money?
Yeah, like they just don't understand that kind of thing, you know?
Right, exactly.
So, let's talk about, okay, so what? Now, you said you wrote about an inspirational story about yourself.
Yeah.
Can you go more into detail about that? Like, it was just like about your life when you were younger?
Well, the book is based on my life, totally. And I say it's inspirational because it's a letter written to God. So basically, I'm writing to him, you know, and telling him about those times, you know, where, you know, I asked him, you know, where are you, you know? And believe me, there were many times, you know, that question came up, you know, but I love writing inspirational things regardless, you know, because, Sigmund Freud believed that positive words, you know, could literally heal someone's soul. You can't believe what positivity can do, you know. And the opposite, you know, when you hear negative words, you know, it could ruin you, you know. So I like writing inspirational stuff. That's my passion.
That's good, though, that you do that.
Yeah.
It helps you to put it on
definitely.
And to get it out there, get it off your chest. It's kind of like a counselor almost, like going to see a counselor. Writing can be very therapeutic, I've heard, you know. You get the anger and the frustration and the sadness and just the despair. It can help to get that out of you. And gives it an avenue and a direction, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, writing it, like you said, was really therapeutic. Because I got to see things basically by seeing them on paper. It's almost like, you know, if you say something like, I don't think I got enough love when I was a little girl, you know, saying out loud, you know, it really makes you think, well, did I, or, you know,
was it all maybe,
yeah, did I imagine, you know, or did I really? So writing it, and especially writing a story about your life, you can kind of analyze, you know, what happened and look at it like if you're from the outside. You know, and by doing that, I ultimately realized that, you know, my mother wasn't such a bad person, you know. She basically was trying to do the best she could with having seven kids and being a single mother, you know.
Holy Hannah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Right there.
Yeah, growing up, I thought, wow, like, you know. She doesn't care, you know, but
children to give, you know, that's a lot of kids to divide your time amongst.
How about
when you have to work jobs to support those children.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you've worked two jobs or three or whatever, and you're exhausted. You barely have time to think or time to yourself to even take a breath, let alone to spread amongst seven children.
Exactly. Yeah.
It will take a lot out of a person.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I realized. I realized, like, she was just doing her best, you know?
The best and, person.
Yeah. Huh?
The best, yeah, the best she could do with yeah. the circumstances that she was presented with.
Right. And maybe her best wasn't Sally's best down the street, but, you know, it was her best, you know?
Everybody's Mary Poppins. I mean, come right. on.
I'll just well, when you're a kid, you think your mama should be Mary Poppins.
Well, that's wonderful ideology. That's a wonderful thought to have in your head, but...
But not reality.
True, that's not reality.
Right.
That's a fictional character in your mind.
Exactly.
That's just not going to happen, no matter how many children you have. I mean, I was a single mom with two kids, and that was exhausting enough. But my son was raising 10 children, all hopped up on Ritalin, running around the schoolyard, going, whoa, whoa, whoa. So, you know. So it was like I was raising 11 children, but, you know, but I... You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
it can be very exhausting. You're working at three jobs. You're trying to take care of your kids. You're trying to have a life, like to date,
mm-hmm.
Try to have a relationship. At some point, you're going to get lonely. You're going to want to meet somebody, be with somebody, marry somebody. You're going to, you know, are your children going to accept those people? And you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of dynamics that go into being a single mother and to be a mother just period, but it's exhausting. So
and I see that now, you know. I mean, like I said, when I wrote it and I read it, I was like, wow, this poor woman, like I actually felt bad for her.
I recognized her all these years and she wasn't
she wasn't that bad. She wasn't, you know, this neglectful, you know, mother who just basically, you know, slept and wasn't there. And, you know, I mean, that's what it seemed like.
She slept the 5 seconds she could.
Right.
She had no time to sleep. She had seven children. She had to cook and clean and she had to work jobs, and she had to run around and do errands and do laundry. And, like, there's 50 million things. I mean, yeah, it's the kids, the older kids, when they...
Right. There was five older ones and my sister.
Then they can pitch in. But at a certain... When they're little, they can't... They're useless. No, I'm just kidding. kids they can't do much when they're little. So when they get older, then they can help with the younger siblings and can help with laundry and cooking and other stuff like that.
Yeah, but my sisters that were older, the two twins, they were 15 years older, and the other ones were even older. So they were moving out of the house. You know, they were
like I got you. Yeah, I have a sister that's 12 years older. So.
Big gap.
What you mean? Like I was getting out of kindergarten, and she was graduating high school.
Yeah,
so really weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have a sister that's 5 years younger. So you have like all these siblings, varying age ranges.
Yeah, older.
Where do you fit in the family dynamic? Are you like
I'm the youngest, and then my sister and I, she's 3 years older than me. We have the same father.
Okay.
And my mother's other five children, my other sisters and brothers, they have the same father.
That's why there's such a gap in children.
My husband,
the muse over here, has the same dynamic. He has three siblings that are like anywhere from 10 to 15 or 16 years older than him from his mom's first husband.
Right.
And then eventually, you know, he left the picture, whatever, many years later. He gets, you know, she gets with his dad, and then he comes along. So it's the same thing. My older sister comes from my mom's first husband, And she had no children with the second husband. And then she had me and my younger sister with her third husband.
Yeah.
So I know we, yeah. So we have the same kind of dynamic. You just have way more siblings. I can't imagine living in a house full of seven. I mean, three was bad enough. I don't even want to think about seven.
Well, when they used to come over for holiday, it was fun. We had good times.
Oh my Lord. They probably each had two, three, four children.
Yeah. A lot of grandkids.
I bet. That's crazy. That make it holidays very fun. I mean,
a lot of fun. Yeah, I remember them.
You guys all still do that? I mean,
My mom passed away, so no. Everybody's spread out. I have a sister in Bermuda. I have a sister in New York. I have one in Charlotte, North Carolina. I have one, you know, about 45 minutes away. I have one in Seattle.
Oh, wow.
My brother passed away. We're all spread out. So it's not like it used to be. Like we planned to do it one year, but you know, life happens, you know?
Oh, yeah. It does. Before you know it, it's gotten away from you. It slips through your fingers and runs down the street and you're like, what? Yep. Where did it go? Where did the time go? Next year it'll be 30 years since I graduated high school. I'm just sitting here thinking to myself like, God, it was like it was yesterday.
I know.
Walking down the aisle and I was graduating school and it was yesterday.
It's crazy.
Then all of a sudden, 29 years later, I'm just sitting here going, what in the hell did I do with my life? Where did everything go? Like,
I know.
Projects that I'm doing now, I wish I had started decades ago. If I'd had self-confidence and you know, and had just done this the last time I lived in California in the 90s, you know, things might have been very different. Or who knows? But then I wouldn't have my...
You might have met OJ?
Yeah, oh, maybe. I might be dead. Oh, sorry. Well, I'm white and blonde. I mean, anything's possible.
Exactly.
sorry, OJ. Orenthal James.
Mm-hmm.
Now we were talking about the therapy that's very therapeutic. That was one of the questions that I had asked was has writing helped you in your everyday life? Like to help, yeah. Like we were just talking about that. Do you write full time as a career? Like, are you working on more projects? Are you?
Well, that's the plan. You know, I actually just got a talent agent.
Oh, nice.
So,
great.
And she's in Hollywood too. So, the plan is to, because I wrote a script. Action thriller script, and the main character is a superhero.
Oh, very nice.
Uh-huh. And she's African-American, and it's
even better.
Oh, it's
them.
It's kick-ass. Can I say kick-ass?
Yes, of course. You can say the F word.
Okay.
I'm just trying to say it because I have respect for you as an older woman.
Okay.
Well, you know, like some, it depends on the guest. Sometimes I swear a bunch and sometimes I don't swear at all. It just depends on the guest that I have on the show.
Yeah. Well, like
some are metal heads and have a metal band and they swear, you know, a bunch. And so if I feel comfortable, then I will do so myself. But you and I had a lovely conversation and I didn't want to muck it up with... You know, massive amounts of swearing. So I'm being very good this week.
Oh
yes, you can say ass and all that. Yes, most definitely.
So yeah, I'm just
that's awesome. I love that. I mean, Halle Berry can't play. Do you think? Oh yeah, Halle Berry. See, Halle Berry should play this part because she's already played more than one superhero.
Right. So she's
been for Marvel, and she's been what, Catwoman?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
so she's, I think she'd be good, but she's older. We want to get somebody younger, somebody today.
I can do that now at this point. No.
Yeah, no. I mean, because it's
I love you. Someday I hope to interview you, but no, she's way too old for that right now.
Yeah, I think so.
If you could have a person play your female superhero, who would you want and why?
I'm trying to think of her name. She's actually very fit, very, she's African-American. Her name is, now wait, I have it. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. I know I didn't say this question, but since we're talking about this stuff, it sounds
yeah, awesome. No, that's okay. I have a picture of her because I think she'd be perfect for the role, to be honest. For some reason, my phone isn't opening.
For some reason in my head, I'm thinking that chick who played, what's his name, sister in the Black Panther? You know, the science nerd.
Oh, her? No, I don't think she'd be good. No. Just wait, hold on 1 second. Let me get her because this woman, she, like I said, she played on, this is how you might remember her. She was on, I think it was Gotham.
Okay.
And she played a federal agent.
Okay.
Now wait, I know you've seen her. I'm getting her picture and name up right now.
Okay. I was also thinking of the chick who plays, what's her name on The Walking Dead?
Yeah, her. Yeah.
Michonne?
I know who you're talking about. What's her real name?
I'm trying to think of it, but she plays Michonne on The Walking Dead, and she played the guard on the Black Panther movie. She played the guy, the chick with the bald head.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
It's a female guard or whatever.
I got her. Her name is Sindelio.
Yes, her.
She, you know what I'm talking about?
That's funny because that's who I immediately pictured was Michonne. Yes. That's awesome. We had the same chick in mind.
Yep.
Great minds think alike.
Yep.
She's an excellent actress, and she's really fit and would be perfect for that. That is the perfect person.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's great. That's great. I hope this works. I hope this works out. Like, I really hope that this happens because that would be amazing. And let me know if there's anything I can do at all to help with that.
Okay. I'll hit you up.
Because that sounds really amazing. And, of course, I'm always down to help, you know, fellow female entrepreneurs, you know. That's a great thing. You know, I'm always down for helping people around the world with different projects.
Awesome. And, that's good to know.
We have all the time. We have, so when you get the movie, when you start doing the movie and everything else, we also do, you know, have movies on here too. Like, you know, everything. Take movies, anything you think of. So
I have to hit you up.
We get to interview her and you and the director.
Awesome. I look forward to that.
I hope this really happens because that would be awesome.
I know. But like everything else, you know, everything's a long road.
Yeah. Very.
But the script is written. The script is already written. And basically, I'm just waiting for them to pitch it to one of the networks, you know, or a movie franchise, whichever.
I think they should go for Netflix. Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime are all buying projects right now. Like, everybody is really, really trying. Last, like, 4, 5, 6, 8 seasons, maybe. I mean, some stuff has a long run, like Law and Order. And certain things have a long run, like Supernatural's been 15 seasons.
Can you believe that?
You know what I mean?
They've been on so long.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Certain shows have, like, The Walking Dead has been on 10 seasons now. They said that they're going to stop after season 11. You know what I mean? But how many shows have that long of a run?
Not that many.
Most shows, their shelf life is, you know, 3 to 5 years, you know, that's typical. Some shows just don't make it as long as they don't get as big of a fan following.
Right.
So you could turn this into a movie, and then that movie could turn into a comic
franchise.
It could come into a comic book series. It could turn into a TV show. Adaptation of the movie, and you could put it on for several years as a series. There's lots of things that we could do with this. Plus, it's merchandising up the wazoo.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Franchise is the way to go, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, but if, even if they can't, you can't get into like the DC or Marvel universe, there's also Dark Horse Comics. There's yeah. a bunch. So you could get in into other areas.
Definitely.
Everybody wants to do stuff. Like Amazon Prime right now has The Boys, which is a superhero based TV show.
Okay.
A series. So like right now, they're trying to get more of that type of stuff. So if Amazon Prime already has The Boys, maybe Netflix wants something in that realm, or possibly Hulu.
Yeah.
Netflix
and for some reason, there's no more Marvels being made. I guess ever since John Lee died, huh?
Stan Lee, yeah.
Stan Lee, yeah.
Yes. Well, no, they're still going to make more. It's just right now it's kind of been paused until they can, you know, get things going again. And plus right now with COVID, the industry has come to a crawl and basically a halt out here. LA, they don't even have stuff like sometimes I do side work where I'll do like I'll be a seat filler for a television show or a talk show or something. You get paid to sit in the audience.
Oh,
and you know what I mean? And that's how they get, like, you know, the laugh tracks and whatever else. You get, like, you know, people actually live studio audiences. So
extra money.
Yeah, exactly. But they have nothing right now. There's no background acting work. There's really, like, almost nothing. It's just concerts. Everything is just
halted
out here right now, unless it's a concert in your car.
Yeah, that's what my agent told me. Like, everything's really slowed down.
Yeah, but hopefully this will be over soon and everything will be back to business as usual.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so there'll be a good market for your project.
Yeah, hopefully. That's the plan.
Man, superheroes, that's a big seller.
I know. And let me tell you, she is phenomenal. I mean, she's crazy. She has a drug habit.
Sounds like Hits. No, what was that movie with not Hitch? The one with Will Smith, where he was a Hancock. Oh, yeah, Hancock.
Oh, Hancock, yeah. That was a comedy.
But he was a superhero.
No.
And had serious issues.
He did. I like that movie, too.
And hated people. And was like, screw all of you, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, like,
she was farting and everything.
That's hilarious to me. That's, you know what I mean? You could take that in some serious areas, you know what I mean? You can make it really serious. Like that it could, like, delve into the subject matter of drug abuse and other stuff like that.
Yeah, so definitely.
More of the serious route, or you could go more the comedy route like Hancock. So
yeah.
There's different ways you could do it.
Well, it's serious because she's actually she starts out as a serial killer.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Pardon my French. That's awesome. And awesome.
So yeah.
She's from Jane the Ripper.
Yeah, right.
Jane the Ripper. Oh, that should be. We should start a TV show called Jane the Ripper.
I know. How about it?
A female murderer during the 1800s. That's awesome. So she was a serial killer first, and then she flips the script and says, no, now I want to save people. And then so now she's a superhero, and she's got a drug problem. I love it.
Well, the government actually, I won't tell it, but the government actually steps in.
You only tell us what you actually can tell us without giving away, because you know,
yeah,
as soon as it gets picked up, I'm telling you, I can see it. That's a very dynamic story. I've never heard anything like it.
Different.
That varies. Yeah. That stands out, and that's what you want. Mm-hmm. You want to stand out from the pack. You don't want to be the same boring,
same old, yeah,
made, done to death nonsense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want that. LA, you know, the world is looking for new stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
See something different.
Well, oh. She's got a hell of a story. So, yeah.
The news is over here laughing. I'm like, oh, God, what do you have for an idea? I'm just scared now. He called me the swingers, I tell you. So, where do you see, I mean, I know you do public speaking also. What do you do in that realm?
I've been to some colleges and radio shows and TV shows and churches and, basically just inspirational stuff.
Good.
That's, you know, good. I did a lecture at, a college. It was probably about 6 years ago. And I was in McDonald's getting a coffee. And there was a girl behind the counter. And she said, you're China, right? And I said, yeah. She goes, you're the reason I have a job.
That's it. Oh, that's amazing. Oh,
she said, yeah, she goes, you know, because I was saying, you know, be productive, you know, like get a bank account, you know, save your money, you know,
around smoking pot,
right? Volunteer in your community, stuff like that, you know, and it was a long lecture and I had a couple of speakers and stuff and I don't know, but I guess she listened. Yeah, she got a job, you know. I was shocked. I said, I can't believe you remembered this. She said, oh, I went out and got a job, she said.
No, but that's good. That's
I'm thinking, good. Well, was she going to be a bum on the street or what?
Well, no, I mean, maybe she was, so this was at a college, so she's a student.
Yeah.
But maybe she didn't, you know.
She had no desire, she said. She didn't, yeah. You know.
Maybe she had no drive. She just didn't care. She just wanted to do her little school thing, and then that's it. But maybe she got tired of, I don't know, living off mommy and daddy or whatever the circumstances it are. You know what I mean?
Well,
we don't know what she's going through, you know? So
no, but
even if it's just in being inspired to go out and get, okay, a simple job like McDonald's.
Right.
I mean, still a step in the right direction.
Exactly. McDonald's
could turn into a career.
Right.
There are people who just started at McDonald's at the age of 15 or 16, and now they're running an entire store.
Yeah.
Or they're a district manager, or they own their own franchise. You don't know where that road could take you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I met this guy one time. It was just random. And he said, oh, I can't find a job, you know, we're struggling. I say, you can't find a job? He said, no, I'm having a hard time. I'm thinking, what? I said, I'll have you a job by the end of the day. My end of the day. I got him a job. I was like, please. I called up Turkey Hill and I said, hey, are you hiring right now? They said, yeah. I said, okay, I'm sending my friend over. End of story.
That's serious.
You know,
China Myers getting young people jobs every day.
I don't believe in the word can't. You know, that's just my philosophy. You always, you know, if you have the determination, but you know, you have to want it. You know, when people tell me they can't find a job, I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I just don't.
It's usually that they're not putting in the work.
Exactly.
They're using it, no offense to anybody, but they're using it as an excuse.
Right. Or it could be that maybe they're going, you know, to these job interviews with a t-shirt and some shorts.
Yeah. Really? It's about approach too. Yeah. No, there's,
you know, you can't go there with your pants hanging down, you know. You
can't be picking your nose during the interview. You can't like just have your hair all disheveled. You gotta look a certain way. You gotta act a certain way. You gotta talk a certain way. You can't go in there and go, yo, I want this job, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hi, sir. I would really like this job. You know what I mean? It's about how you talk, it's about how you dress, it's about how you approach everything.
Exactly.
I tell my son that all the time. I get tired of the negativity. Like, I don't wanna hear this, I can't do this and I can't do that. Oh, I can't live off of that. Well, you're not budgeting. Maybe you need to get a second job. How about that? You know what I mean? I worked two jobs and raised my children sometimes. You know, I had to do that. It is what it is. And I was raising kids off of like $6.75 an hour. I was still able to pay all my bills and raise my children. How do you
pennies?
This is what I'm saying. You're getting 12 bucks an hour. That's twice what I was getting back then. And I raised two kids.
They can't budget their money. Yeah,
exactly. That means you're spending it on the wrong things.
Right. Right.
How are you not surviving? So when I hear the word can't, I get really irritated.
Oh, so do I. Big time.
I don't want to hear that nonsense. I always had two jobs. I can't find a job.
Well, maybe get rid of the phone and then, you know, pay your bills. You got to prioritize, you know?
Exactly. Completely true.
The way it is.
Well, where can everyone find you on social media, websites? Where can they get your book?
Well, I am on LinkedIn. As far as social medias are concerned, I got rid of Facebook and Instagram. It was just taking up too much time and it was just too crazy. So I'm on LinkedIn. And as far as my book, the book is seven volume series. And volume one has been published. I am working on volume two now.
Nice.
And volume one is in Barnes & Nobles. And you can get it at Barnes & Nobles, but it's an ebook. Okay. But Amazon has it in paperback. Because, you know, some people like to hold a book. You know what I mean?
One of those people.
Right? You know, so Amazon has it in ebook and paperback.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a series, so I didn't want to make it, you know, because people don't have a lot of time. So I didn't want to make it real big and you're reading this novel and you're carrying around the novel and your baby, you know. So it's
in other words.
Yeah, it'll take you a good hour, maybe hour and a half to read it. That's it.
That's you good.
And that's why I broke it up into seven volumes.
People's attention spans are short, so you got to kind of
exactly
that, and they don't have enough time in their day because they're
just. I'm saying, you know, people don't have a lot of time. It's not like it used to be. You know, you sit down after work, you know, and read a book. I mean, also come from one job, go to another, or come from one job and pick up their kids. So you know,
I read a book. I'm reading a book right now. I'm a security guard, so I'm reading a book by an author that had sent me their book. Prior, you know, a few weeks ago. So, you know, but I actually have time. So in between people coming to my metal detectors, I have a moment here and there to read like a few pages. So I actually got a lot of reading done today. So it just depends on your situation. And I haven't been able to read a book in years.
See, nobody has time.
This job has made me so productive. It's ridiculous. I've written almost three chapters of my book series. I wrote two almost complete songs and I've been able to read almost an entire book. It's not
a songwriter. Good for you.
Yeah. So I'm putting together a band, you know, it is what it is.
Cool. But
I want to thank you for being on our show today, China. Thank you so much. Chinese World Talk on the Block today. You've just been a very, I mean, seriously inspirational guest today. You really kind of lit a fire under me and gave me hope that anything is possible, no matter what the circumstances and your age and anything. So thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate you. And please hit me back up when you got more, you know, your next book is about to be published and you got this superhero, you know, murdering chick going, you know, tell me when you got more stuff going on and we'd love to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for being on today. We really appreciate you.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much, too. I really do. Yeah, it was fun, too. I liked it.
Thank you. All right, everybody, please go check out China Myers, author, public speaker, and soon to be movie maker. When we have, hold on, what is his name? Yeah, Stephen Webb. He is a fitness trainer. So till next week, peace out. Sorry, Derek Webb.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.